Well, good morning, and again, greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to be back here with you, and it's good to see each one that has gathered together. I appreciated the service this far and the inspiration of the singing, and I said I would give you time for testimonies this morning, and I'd like to do that before we move into the message. And if you take up all my time for the message, I won't mind. I think time for testimonies is important as well. We share together what God is doing in our hearts or where we have needs or where we stand in need of prayer. And I appreciated those two songs. They were in the testimony section of the songbook. And I thought about that as we were singing. And hopefully each of those is our testimony, the words of those songs. So who will be first? I'll just open it up here. Is there anything you want to share here this morning, what God has been doing? Now's your time. Next. Not seeing your hand or recognizing you, just feel free to speak out. Sisters has a testimony. Anyone, feel free. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. For a message text this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I don't know that I've, in my few short years of preaching, ever based a message from verses in Proverbs, but this morning I'm attempting to do that. So I was doing another study in the last number of months on the laws of harvest, and I think it was last fall, maybe at home, I preached a message on the law of sowing and reaping. And I don't know, somewhere in that study, these verses here in Proverbs 6 caught my attention. And so I decided to do some more study in this passage. Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. I'll read those verses at this time. Proverbs 6, 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. I titled the message, The Abomination of Sowing Discord. The abomination of sowing discord. And I think what caught my attention, when you read a verse and it says, these things doth God hate, it should cause us to sit up and pay attention. And then it says, the seventh is an abomination. And that's even, can I say, a stronger word than hate. The proverb writer used a writing style here, maybe of repetition or of, the seventh thing is really what he wanted to focus on, and so that's why he repeats it. The seventh thing is an abomination. I don't fully understand all, some have done studies on the styles of writing and the styles of repetition and some of that, and I don't profess to have done that, but I do believe when he repeats that, the seventh thing is really what he wanted to draw attention to in this set of verses. Now, I'm not preaching this message because I believe there's a problem with discord here at Blue Ridge this morning. But yet, I also am aware of the human nature and how quickly discord can come into, even in very small ways, into a brotherhood. And especially if you think about times of outreach or church growth, it always seems that when the church is doing something good, the devil is desperate to fight against that. And one of the ways he does that is by causing any kind of discord or division in a congregation. And while the message this morning may be directed to you as a congregation, as a whole, and ways that we can weed out any kind of discord in a congregation, in many ways, the same principles apply to relationships as a whole. And so I'll start the message just by thinking, what is discord? Illustrating and defining what we're talking about, the abomination of discord. What is discord? Maybe I'll start with this. You could go back to the beginning and think of the first discord in the garden, when discord, if you can say it that way, occurred, when the serpent said to Adam and Eve, yea, hath God said. And Adam and Eve responding to that first little thought of discord, that first little thought that I can rebel against God, brought sin into the world, and no more did the lion and the lamb lay down beside each other in the garden. There was discord. Maybe a more simple illustration. What is the feeling that goes up and down your spine when you hear the chalk on the chalkboard screeching? And some of you, maybe it doesn't affect, but others of us, it sends a shiver. You could think of the illustration of music being a lack of harmony in music. And when I start talking about music, I know I'm going to mess up my words somewhere, so forgive me, those of you that are musically inclined, because I'm not very well musically inclined. But in music, I believe you have chording, or when you chord, you have three notes that blend and complement each other in different parts. Discord is the opposite of that. Discord is the opposite of peace, or we could say discord is havoc. One who sows discord makes pieces instead of peace. Discord could be the lack of unity, the lack of being at one. And I thought of the verse in Psalm 133. I'm just going to read that verse or verses here. Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the Mount of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And there you see a picture of peace and of blessing, the opposite of discord. How pleasant it is, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Defining and illustrating discord, God's thoughts about discord. What are God's thoughts? And we already noticed the first one here in our text verses in Proverbs chapter 6. God hates discord. Now, hate and abomination are strong words. And I believe one of the only other times God says these as strong a words as these is when he's talking about idolatry. That would be a comparable sin. When we talk about idolatry or having other gods before God, he uses similar language as he does here in Proverbs chapter 6. God's thoughts about discord. Hebrews 12, and I'm drawing a comparison here, but in Hebrews 12, verse 6, it says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. So if God chastens who he loves, my question is, what does God do to what he hates? Revelation 3:16 tells us he spits the lukewarm out of his mouth. Now, when you think of lukewarm, it's something neither good or bad. It's just sort of tepid. But what does God do with what he hates? There's verses that talk about being at enmity or war against God, and I believe that's the closest picture I can draw of what how it is to resist God in this thing of discord. What does it look like? What does discord look like? How does it manifest itself in the church? Maybe it's saying and doing things that I say or do that cause distrust among the brethren. Inflammatory statements, things that result in arguments or disagreements. And I'll just say this right here. I appreciate what we've been given in our churches, in our brothers' meetings, when we're allowed to share our feelings and share how we feel about subject. And that's not what I'm talking about here this morning. There is a healthy way and a good way, and we need to be able to share with one another how we're feeling and how we view the situation. That's not what I'm talking about. And I just need to interject that here. And hopefully we'll explain that more as we go along. What does it look like? Discord is often or can be sown in secret or with a very sly attitude. It can be in whispered conversations that you will need to stop when someone else comes around, or talking under your breath. Back up to Proverbs 6 here in verses 12 to 14 gives a little picture of a person who sows discord, a little extends the picture. A naughty person, verse 12, a wicked mouth, he walketh with a froward mouth, a perverse mouth or a wayward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. I like some of the word pictures here, like he speaks with his feet. I don't know if I can totally unpack what that one means, but there's some underhanded stuff going on, and there's some body language going on here that's involved in discord. When I'm involved in sowing discord, I generally do not offer solutions or want to be a part of the solution. And that is a big indicator. It's been said you're either part of a problem or part of a solution, not both. And so I appreciate our times when we can share as brethren, and when we honestly want to, if there's a problem, we honestly want to solve it. But sometimes there's a problem and I'd just rather talk about the problem and stir up the problem instead of actually think of productive ways to help the problem. What does it look like? It's when the brotherhood, when the church is going one way and I want to fight and go the opposite way. It's when I'm not open to a brotherhood interpretation to the scripture, but I'd rather choose a private interpretation or a personal revelation above what the Word of God says. And I would be referencing 2 Peter 1 verses 20 and 21, and I won't turn there. What does it look like? It could be, you could imagine it this way, just as a mental picture. Someone here singing off tune very loudly. Now that sometimes happens by ignorance or mistake or maybe just simply a lack of musical ability. But for the sake of the illustration, what I'm talking about is someone who does it willfully. Just, they know it and they don't care. And they just like to see what they can wreck. And they make it hard for others to sing correctly and respectfully. Discord, what does it look like? It's thinking my way is better than our way. I can walk better alone than together. It's refusing to find my identity in Christ and his church and delaying obedience to the authority of his word. Where does discord come from? If you were here last night, I believe we already heard that. The devil is the author of discord. The devil is the author of confusion. Satan was the first to sow discord. We thought about that back there, if you think about the beginning creation and the Garden of Eden. But even before that, I believe there's that account in Isaiah and other places where we believe that some of the angels followed Satan out of heaven. The story of Cain and Abel is another early account of discord and an illustration of where discord among brethren leads to. Discord happens naturally, maybe I can say it that way, because of our fallen, sinful human nature and the divisive behavior, what we call the works of the flesh. And we could read them in Galatians 5, verses 19 and 21. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. All those works of the flesh result or bring or are part of discord. And so we need to put forth effort not to sow discord. Because discord just happens when we relax and aren't putting forth effort to sow peace. Our brother in the morning devotional already read the verse from James 3:18. And I won't read that again, but it talks about the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And that's where our focus should be. Now I'd like to focus more specifically here again on our text in Proverbs chapter 6, these verses. And I titled this part of the message, The Six Waves of Discord. The six waves of discord. And as I studied these few verses here, I believe each of these six things that the Lord hates are, if I can call it, a wave of discord. And you know how a wave spreads ripples, and the ripples, and each wave I see spreading farther and farther and farther. And I just like to stop and examine. First one we notice is that the Lord hates is a proud look, verse 17. This proud look starts, can I say, in our personal thoughts. What we see with our eyes, but there's thoughts going on behind there. We read the verse last night, only by pride cometh contention. That's Proverbs 13:20. And so this personal thoughts, and sometimes we contend with people in our thoughts, and then that contention comes out. What does it mean to contend with someone? Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Years ago, I believe when you would saw down a tree, before the days of chainsaws, they had a crosscut saw. And as I watch demonstrations of that, there's a certain rhythm that goes along with using a crosscut saw. And as I pictured what contention could be, I believe it's when you're pulling when the other guy's pulling. Instead of taking turns pulling to make that saw flow back and forth, contention is, I'm putting pressure on when he's supposed to be putting pressure on. And so it's out of rhythm, being pulled back and forth at the wrong time. Only by pride cometh contention. And this proud look brings that contention. Next thing I see is a lying tongue. This could be evil words. It could be what we like to call white lies. You know, just those little ones. But it involves opening my mouth. And I open my mouth to my neighbor, and I say a lie, and that will cause contention and discord. And it will start this wave of conflict. Lies about others, lies that we say out of our mouth, no matter how small, will cause contention and discord. And this internal conflict we will see as we move along here, not taken care of, will grow larger and spill out externally and involve more. Third action, the third wave I see here is hands that shed innocent blood, verse 17 again. Now, I highly doubt I'm speaking to murderers here this morning, but yet, with our mouth, and by our actions, we can shed innocent blood. When I tell that white lie, or that little comment, that little jab against my brother, against my sister, did you see what he did? And I assign a motive to their well-meaning action, if I can say it that way. At some point, I'm shedding innocent blood. At some point, that wave will spread, and maybe it's just I said it to one person, but that person will add to that and go share it and spread the ripple to the third person. And at some point, I'm harming innocent people by my thoughts, by my actions, or by my words. Verse 18, the fourth wave I see is a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. This is now moving to our intellect. Moving to what, and we're moving beyond just maybe an innocent comment to a heart that is bent on devising. And so I'm sitting around and I'm thinking too much. Can I say that way? I'm thinking too much. And I'm thinking wicked imaginations. And I'm talking to my neighbor, or maybe there's three or four people involved in this circle, in this wave, and we're getting heated up about something. And you know, when your own thoughts, but then when your neighbor adds fuel to the fire, and there's a third or a fourth person, and you get talking about, did you see what happened over here? And I wonder why he is doing that. And did you see the strange action that was taken there? three or more people continuing to talk about a false accusation, a false problem, trying to figure it out, never once talking to the guilty party. We're using our intellect to figure out more ways to spread the cancer of discord. This is definitely taking it a step farther than just causing discord by ignorance or by accident. We're using our imagination, our wicked thoughts. It's not innocence anymore. The fifth wave I see, feet that be swift to running to mischief. This includes more actions that involve yet a broader circle, or the ripple is growing and growing and spreading. You know, when you want to say a comment about somebody, you usually know who's going to be accepting of that comment and who's not going to be. Maybe I'm just revealing my own heart here, but there's certain people you probably won't say a comment to, and there's other people that you know they're going to pick up on it and commiserate with you. Feet that are swift in running to mischief reminds me of that. You're looking for someone that is going to be swift to join in with your thoughts, or you're looking for collaboration in the negativity, in the mischief, in the evil. And so my challenge is, what happens when a story comes my way, when a little tidbit of gossip, does it shut down with me, or does it get added on by me? Would others say that I'm always at the center of the strife, the stories, the discord? Or am I the last one to find out about it? And if I'm the last one to find out about it, that's good. That's where it should be. I don't want to be in that loop, if there is one. Sixth point, a false witness that speaketh lies. And again, I see more insistence and persistence here than the lying tongue in verse 17. But you enter the word witness into this verse, and it brings to mind a court scene. That's when you call a witness, when someone is being tried. And we're talking about a false witness. And maybe what happens in this, in these waves of discord, if I can call it that way, it comes to the ears of someone that says, wait, what is going on here? What am I hearing? And I'm going to stop and investigate, and I'm going to see if I can trace this rumor or this discord or this problem back to its source. And so they start asking questions, and they're saying, where did you hear that? Or is that true? And this false witness, this one upon question, insists that his opinion or his story that was manufactured in these waves is true. That's what I see in a false witness that persists or that speaketh lies. When someone is trying to bring peace to a given situation, a given story, a given discord, the false witness insists on repeating and continuing to believe the lies and refuses to believe the good. They insist on their false assumptions. Their false assumptions that they do not know to be true. Now, I'd like to think, and the third point of the message, third main point, practical help to overcome the sin of sowing discord among the brotherhood. Last night we thought about the verse in James 1:20. Actually, I'm not sure if I turned there last night or not, but where it talks about, yes, we did, the wrath of man does not work the harmony of God, does not work the righteousness of God. And so anytime I have this feeling of anger, of wrath, it's going to lead to discord. It will never lead to courting. It will never lead to brotherhood agreements. It will lead to brotherhood disagreements. Another help to discord, understand that the first discord we need to deal with is the discord in our own hearts. And if I have a guilty conscience, if I am not at peace with God, That inner turmoil will propel and fuel discord. What is inside will come out. And looking back at my own life, it's easier to point the finger at someone else and point out their discord than to deal with my own discord and what's going on. It's easier to criticize others and to be critical of them than to deal with the needs in my own life. And sometimes we can be tempted to do that as a deflection. Another practical help, Romans 16, verses 17 to 18. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. There's a lot we could learn there about the sores of discord, but I would just say this: beware of keeping company with them. Says we're supposed to mark them as unruly. Mark them which cause divisions among you. And along with this, I would just add this. There are a lot of teaching. There is a lot of, I hesitate maybe to use the strong word false prophets, but there's a lot of content available that we can listen to on our phones, on our devices, on our podcasts. And a lot of it sounds good, but yet some of the teaching, I believe, will cause discord. Because the Bible says we're supposed to know those that labor among us. We're supposed to, our teaching should be received from those that we know and work among, or from among the brotherhood. And so if I don't know what agenda or what my teacher is striving for, be cautious. Because at some point it will cause discord if I start believing and following them versus the ones that are responsible for me. Practical help, a simple one. Just utilize direct communication. Whenever I can make a phone call instead of a text, I will try to do that. And whenever I can have a face-to-face meeting versus a conference call, if you can say it that way, I guess I'm still old-fashioned enough that I just enjoy that. But it just clears up so many potential communication mishaps, if I can say it that way. Just go and talk directly to the person. If you hear something coming to your ears that it's a little negative, or I'm not sure what his motives were, just go ask your brother. Brother, what did you mean by that? And if he's sincere, he'll be happy to tell you. And most of the time you'll find it that way. The opposite of not talking to others directly, but talking around their back, will always bring discord. Another help: understand the difference between doctrine and personal preference. Romans 14, 5 and 6. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. We don't need to make a doctrine out of every small thing. Some things are just best left to personal preference, and I can respect my brother and say, God bless you. And if that's the way you desire to do it, I will help you do it that way. We can learn to ask questions instead of assigning motives. It's always better to seek first to understand instead of seeking to be understood. James 4:11 tells us, speak not evil one of another, brethren. And so if we can learn to ask questions, learn to understand, how did you come to that conclusion? How did you come to that decision? What was your thought process behind that, brother? And as we begin to ask those questions, It can weed out what is potential discord. And finally, we can focus on the areas where we can cord. There will naturally be areas that we do not see eye to eye. And if all we do is focus on those areas and harp in on them, it just brings discord. But if we can focus on the areas, this is what we can do well together. What can we do well together? And let's do that together. And as we work together, it brings harmony in the congregation. I'd like to close yet with an illustration. And I hope this illustration can be understood. But I thought of the illustration of and maybe you could say an orchestra. Or maybe those of you that were at the youth sing tonight, last night, and picturing, I don't know how many youth was it up front there singing, 100? 127. And so you think of a choir or an orchestra or a group of musicians participating together. I'm told the largest orchestra ever collaborating together was 8,573 members. Now, I can't imagine that. But if you think about that, and they're singing a beautiful piece of music, maybe it's a symphony by Beethoven, or maybe it's the Hallelujah Chorus, part of Handel's Messiah. And so they're up front here, and they're participating, and they have a conductor down there. He's conducting the music. Imagine in the middle of that piece of music, all of a sudden the conductor stops his hands. And he points up there, says, "You in the back row, the third person, I hear your voice. I hear your voice." And you ask yourself the question, well, isn't that why I participate? To make my voice be heard? Yes and no. I participate to make my voice blend with the group. And so when I hear that choir, when I hear the youth sing, I like to hear the voices blending together in harmony. And if I hear one voice above another, someone hasn't learned to blend. That's the way it should be in the church. Am I intent? Am I focused on my voice being heard above the rest? My opinion, my whatever, and so I elevate that. At some point, God will need to stop me in my tracks and say, "I hear your voice, and I want to hear your voice in the context of the brotherhood, not alone." And so whatever we do to stand out, to be set apart, to be noticed, to make our voice heard, to draw attention to myself in the church, it can be, like I said last night, there's two ditches. We can be in the ditch of not following the standards, if I can use that as an illustration, or we can be in the ditch of hyper following the standards and making sure that everyone notices that I'm following them to a T. Are not both considered discord? Does God view my actions as sowing discord? Are others hearing my voice alone? Or are they able to enjoy the harmony of the group with my voice blending into the direction of the great orchestrator, Jesus Christ, the head of the church? Let's kneel for prayer.